thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
One of the first areas I wanted to look at in terms of being physically fit is actually to look at, or spiritually fit, is actually to look at the life of Jesus. So I'm going to have you turn to Luke 5. And we're going to bounce around three of the four Gospels. There were four men who wrote the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to hang out in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm going to bounce us around. So you'll notice on the screens, we'll give the scripture references. But I'm going to look at the life of Jesus to see if there's anything there that we can see about being spiritually fit. So we're going to start the story at Luke 5, verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus had met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he fell to the ground, face down in the dust, begging to be healed. "Lord," he said, "if you want to, you can make me well again." Jesus reached out and touched the man and said, "I want to, so be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what happened, but instead he said, "Go right to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required for the law of Moses for those who have been healed with leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing." So he's saying, prove your healing, just don't tell them who provided that healing. Yet despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their distresses. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You could go on and read the story, and as many of us do, as we read through the scriptures, we just read the narrative and we miss really key things. I'm gonna say to you that verse 16 is really key to our lives in this day and age. It doesn't look like anything. It's not a doctrinal teaching. It's not anything theological. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Am I suggesting that Jesus needed to separate from ministry in order to have strength for ministry? I actually am. You might be saying, wait a second. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, who's all-knowing, all-powerful, can touch a man and say, "I want you to be healed," and leprosy disappears, needs to take a break? Wait a minute. I thought you pastors are always telling us that we need to learn to endure and persevere and push through and have faith. Well, we are. But there's this little key here that Jesus has mastered spiritual fitness by taking that break in the wilderness to pray, that he's able to push through and endure and persevere. Wait a minute. I thought we weren't to grow weary in well-doing. I thought we were supposed to be strong in our well-doing. Now you're telling us it's okay to take a break. That doesn't make a sense. Well, you don't grow weary in well-doing. The reason how you're able to do that is because you're able to carve away time in solitude and prayer. The first time I saw this was about 5 years ago. And I'm realizing, how do I think I'm going to make it through life without taking a break for solitude and prayer if Jesus, who is the God of all creation, who can heal with the word from his lips, with the touch of his hand, in fact, he doesn't even have to reach out, he can heal when someone reaches out and grabs the hem of his garment. How am I going to make it through this world not without the ability to take a break if Jesus himself needs to take a break and move into the wilderness in solitude and prayer? So I'm going to share with you today that the training method for spiritual fitness, for training day, the method of spiritual exercise is called solitude and prayer. We're going to spend the rest of this morning talking about that there's this method called solitude and prayer. And let me say before I go any further, some of you hear the word solitude and that makes you a little scared. Some of you are so lonely that the idea of solitude is just such a foreign concept. I don't need to be alone more than I already am. I have this deep sense of loneliness. Well, let me encourage you, this kind of solitude is not being alone. You see, when Jesus would take away and withdraw to the wilderness for solitude and prayer, he was communing with his Father. When you take away time for solitude and prayer, it's not to be alone, it's to commune with the God of all creation, to find out what he has to say to you about your life, to find out what he says about how much he loves you. That's what Jesus is doing here. So if you're lonely, Don't push this all away, because there's even a value for you in solitude and prayer. I want to say to those of you that are extroverted, you're thinking, I do not want to do this. I love being around people. I need to be around people. That's what charges me up. The idea of being alone is a really scary proposition. But I want to encourage you, where else can you go to find out what God really thinks of you? Because this world is not necessarily the place that's going to tell you what God thinks of you. It's more going to tell you what you are and what you aren't. It's going to tell you the things you don't live up to and the things that you don't rise to the occasion. So I would encourage you that even as an extrovert, it's okay to have solitude and prayer. In fact, it's needed in your life. And I would say to those of you that are introverts as well, that you think, well, yeah, I want solitude and prayer. I love being alone. That's how I get my energy. But let me ask you, are you really taking that time of being alone to communicate and converse with the God of all creation? Are you taking that time to hit that reset button and say, God, what are you wanting to do in and through me? Well, I would say solitude and prayer is good for all of us, and it's a training method for spiritual fitness. You see, Jesus, he was popular, but popular doesn't mean that everyone's a fan of who you are. Jesus walked through this life with people critiquing him and criticizing him and sometimes outright there to murder him. He needed this solitude to withdraw. So we're going to unpack a number of ways we see Jesus do this so that it can help us as we walk through life. So I'm going to have you turn to Matthew 4. We're going to look at another time. Where we were just reading, it says that he often withdrew. Well, let's look at a few of those. The first one actually happens at his very first call into ministry. He's been baptized, and then instantly something happens. It's Matthew 4, verse 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, that God took him to this place of solitude for prayer, to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing, and he became very hungry. You see, you'll see on the screen that solitude and prayer in the beginning of ministry was totally important for Jesus. And I wonder if you're thinking, well, that's Jesus. He needed to have solitude and prayer to defeat the devil and the temptation because he's Jesus and he had this really important ministry to go change the world for eternity. But I want to challenge you, you have a purpose too. You have a ministry, whether you work in ministry, quote unquote, or not, you have a ministry. There's a purpose, a divine intention for your life. And some of you have heard that voice where God said, I have a plan for you. Have you taken time to be in solitude with him to hear what that plan is? To have him course correct where you've gone off course because you haven't heard him, but he wants to speak to you how to get back on course. Each one of us has a plan and a purpose. And without that ability to have solitude, to hear from the God of all creation, we're not going to be able to stay the course. Some of you, you've never heard that voice from God that says, I love you, I have a plan for you. You're kind of here at church today to, what is this journey with Jesus all about? Well, I want to encourage you. God wants to speak that to you. He wants to help you find your purpose in life, but you've got to carve out time and solitude and prayer to find out what that is. So solitude and prayer in the beginning of ministry, in the beginning of our purpose, we see that in the life of Jesus. I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 6. Go all the way back to Luke chapter 6. You see, Jesus at this point in his ministry, he's got a whole bunch of followers, thousands of people following him. The label we give that is disciples. They're learning how to be like him, but there's thousands following him, crowds all over the place. But he realizes, I need to select a select few. I need to pick a select few that I can train and develop and equip and empower to carry my message forward beyond me. I need to speak into them, encourage them, and draw them close, because if what I have to say needs to go beyond me, I need to empower and equip others. So he realizes, I need to select a few folks. So here he is, Luke 6, verse 12. He'd just been ministering again and healing some folks. And he says this, one day soon afterward, Jesus went to a mountain to pray. There it is again, solitude and prayer. And he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. And here are their names. And it goes on to list their names. You see on your screen, it says solitude and prayer in making important decisions. Jesus had some important decisions to make about who he should trust with his ministry, and he needed, even though he's the God of all creation in the flesh, walking planet Earth, he needed time to seek the heart of his Father, to say, who should I pick? Well, we face so many decisions every day, some of them not so important, but many of them are very important, and they direct our future. If we're not taking out time for solitude and prayer to hear from God, how are we going to have the ability to make those important decisions? If Jesus did it, we need to consider that we need that spiritual fitness as well to do that as we navigate life. Let's turn back to Matthew again. Let's go to Matthew 14. We're going to continue to see how Jesus exercises the spiritual discipline, the spiritual fitness, and develops. Even though he's God, he develops a spiritual fitness to be functionally fit. He can handle every situation because he's training in this kind of way with solitude and prayer. Matthew 14, verse 13, right what happens right before this scripture, right before this story, is one of his good friends, John the Baptist, had been in prison and had been executed. There was, through a series of events, ended up being executed. So verse 12 says this, John's disciples came for John's body and buried it. Then they told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself to a remote area on a boat to be alone. Jesus chose the spiritual exercise of solitude and prayer in times of loss. So many of us go through times of loss, and we don't take that time to carve away and say, God, I need to hear from you right now. I need solitude and prayer. But right in his daily experience, Christ hears this news about his good friend who had been executed, and he goes away in solitude and prayer to be alone. It's what helps him have the strength, the endurance, the fitness functionally to make it through the day. But here's the crazy thing. He didn't carve away all night or all day in this circumstance. He carved away to go on the boat, but the crowds heard, it says in verse 13, the crowds heard where he was headed and followed by land from many villages. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat. He had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. He only could get away for a few moments, but he did, and it gave him the strength to now, my good friend just got executed, and now I need to go minister to these people. He needed that solitude and prayer. The story continues. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus replied, that isn't necessary. You feed them. And then you see this miraculous story of feeding thousands on 2 fish and 5 loaves. And again, he's ministering. Well, his ability to have that power to minister comes out of the fact that he's spiritually fit. He was taking out time for solitude and prayer. So they feed all the folks. And immediately after this, it says in verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and across to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After he sent them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. You see, Jesus, twice in that same day, his friend gets executed. People need to be healed. They followed him across as he was on the boat. They followed him. They wanted to be healed. They needed to be fed. He miraculously feeds them. And in all of that, he takes time to recover, to exercise, to have the spiritual discipline of solitude and prayer. It's what makes him spiritually fit. In this case, he has solitude and prayer in the pressure of dealing with people. Go ahead and write that down. You'll see that on the screen. Solitude in the pressure of dealing with people. Life is about people. Whether it's our coworkers, our neighbors, our kids, our parents, our boss, our employees, whatever it is, life is surrounded by people, and people are broken. We're all broken. We've all fallen short. So there's pressure in dealing with people, even in good times. Christ recognized this, and his way he stayed fit in order to deal with that pressure is solitude and prayer. It continues as we pick up the story. We follow the life of Jesus. We see this continue. He's becoming spiritually fit. I'm going to look for my next note here. You know, there's this one area of life that we all face. It's not only in those important decisions. It's not only in dealing with the pressure of people, but it's also in dealing with the daily demands of life. Turn to Luke 5. We actually read it already. I think that's why I sort of lost my way. Luke 5, he was healing the man with leprosy. He tells the man not to tell anyone what he did. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed. But Jesus, again, often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. On your notes, you'll see it's solitude and prayer in the daily demands of life. Jesus had daily demands on life. He identifies us with us in those demands in life. But I want to share with you, as you might be thinking, well, this is nice. It's really great that Pastor George and Jeff and the others decided we needed to hear about solitude and prayer, but do they really understand the real world? Do they really understand the busyness of life? Do they really understand what life throws at you? Because that's a really great profession, being a pastor. You get to read the word all day, and you get to pray, and it's really low-key, so good for them, but do they really understand what we face? And I want to encourage you, we do. We understand the real world. In fact, we live in the real world, and I'm going to be vulnerable for the purpose of just encouraging you, not for any other purpose. I'm going to share with you my calendar next week, because I don't show many people my calendar, because that's between me and God, how I keep my calendar. Is it up there? I see you guys looking. This is next week. So the left blue box is church. We're there right now. And then this afternoon is the first Sunday. And many Sundays, our family has had a free afternoon. So we're going to go to the park and maybe watch the Broncos game. But as you see, you hit Monday from 7 a.m. to about 5 p.m. is about 8 appointments I have, all in front of people. And I probably have about 30 seconds between each one of those appointments. And it's all good stuff. We're talking about what God's doing at Carr Street and planning that. We're talking about human resources. We're a church. We're a daycare. We're a school. There's all sorts of things that go on with that. In the afternoon on Mondays, I usually meet with Pastor George for a couple hours, but he's in Israel. So I have open office hours for any of the staff to come by and just visit with me and talk through things. We've got football practice in red after all that, and then dinner at about 8:30, kids to bed, and do it all over again. And so you can see Tuesday's the same, Wednesday's much the same, Thursday's the same. Friday's a little slower. I take time to follow up on emails and those kind of things. And Saturday, next Saturday, the morning looks pretty open, so we'll probably take the kids to the park again. But I might also fill that with finishing touches on next week's message, which is next Saturday's church service there. So it's a full calendar. It's leading people. It's encouraging people. It's bearing their burdens with them. It's calling and meeting with some of you. It's the fast pace of life. And I share that for the reason to say we understand where you're at. We're there too, and it's our joy to do this. I share this to say it's our joy to give our very best effort to see this church become and be all that God intends it to be, and that's what we give our everyday to. But if we were to preach on solitude and not have it, that would be a bit hypocritical. So let me share with you a couple techniques I've found to have solitude and prayer. First of all, right now in this season, I get up really early in the morning because it's my only shot at solitude. Once the kids wake up and we hit getting ready for school and a day of work and then activities after school, it is a full day. So for me, I get up early in the mornings, and you see that modeled by Jesus in Mark 1:35. It says this, "The next morning Jesus awoke long before daybreak and went out alone into the wilderness to pray." So we already read that he did it all night long. We're now reading he does it early in the morning, and at times he did it in the middle of the day, even on that boat where he had a chance to do that. That's where I recharge with God. That's where I go to have solitude and prayer and converse with him, is early in the morning. But I remember about 12 years ago when I was working in the corporate world that there was this light bulb moment for me. And I want to encourage you, if maybe getting up in the morning doesn't work or maybe staying up late doesn't work, let me encourage you to find 10 minutes in the middle of the day. I noticed something was happening with my coworkers. I'd look around and every so often, a bunch of them would head out to the elevator and head downstairs for a smoke break. And this light bulb went off, and I'm not saying anything good or bad about smoking, I'm just saying I noticed and had this observation. I realized, wait a second, I don't smoke, so I don't get a smoke break. That's kind of not fair. But if I went to the elevator and went down the stairs and took my Bible, I might get like a little solitude break. And so I began to, with regularity, every day, once or twice a day, begin to have my own little smoke breaks with God. At the building I was at the time, it had this pond and this fountain, and it was really great because the folks who smoked were always by the back door. They never went to this beautiful pond. So I'd take my Bible, in fact, it was often this Bible, and I'd sit there for 15 minutes. And I'd pray, and I'd read a scripture. I'd even take time to memorize scriptures. And that little 15-minute window in my day made all the difference. I had more wisdom for the meetings I was in. I had more ability to lead, and I needed that break. So I want to encourage you that even in the busyness of life, That we understand, we live it with you, we understand the demands of this life, that you can find time early in the morning, late at night, or even little 15-minute breaks in the day to have solitude and prayer with who Jesus is. Let me share one more with you from Luke chapter 3. Actually, I'm sorry. Don't turn to Luke yet. Turn to Matthew 26. My bad. Matthew 26, it's headed toward the end of Christ's life. He's actually headed for the cross within days. And he says this, "Then Jesus brought to them to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go and pray.' He took Peter and James and John, and he began to be filled with anguish and deep distress. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death, so stay here and watch with me.' Yet he went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine.'" Here's Christ, who's about to bear the weight of the world, the sin of the world for all of mankind, who's filled with anguish, crying out to his Father in his time of solitude and prayer. He's vulnerable. He's sharing his shortcomings, his inability to bear this burden, yet he reminds himself, "I want your will, Father, not mine." This is a great model for what our time can look like. You see, solitude and prayer, write this down, is also good for us in facing difficult obedience. There's going to be times that God asks things of us that we don't feel the ability to do, we don't feel equipped to do, we don't feel worthy to do, maybe even things we don't even want to do. But he's going to ask us to do it, and without having that time of solitude and prayer while facing difficult decisions, I'm not sure we'll be able to carry out that obedience in the way he wants us to. So Christ even models his spiritual fitness is found when facing difficult